guys. Welcome back to Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host, Kendra Beavis, and today I am sitting with Anne Diamond. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Kendra. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you here. So we are going to be talking all about how to utilize EFT through transitional stages in your life. I mean, EFT can be used in so many different ways. And of course, it is always best used in combination with other modalities. I was so excited to talk to you today about your experience with EFT. Why don't we start with explaining a little bit about EFT and what exactly it is?
Sure, Kendra. EFT is emotional freedom techniques. And I guess the easiest way describing it is acupuncture without the needles. Mm. Most people are familiar with what acupuncture is. It uses the meridian points, acupressure meridian points on the body, and that's a well-established modality for thousands of years from Eastern medicine. And emotional freedom techniques combines talking therapy tools with tapping on those acupressure points. There are no needles involved, and it's a very gentle technique, but you're still applying stimulation to those acupressure points. And it's, I like to describe it as a way of tuning down your emotional response to the thoughts or feelings that you're thinking or talking about. So that the actual action of the tapping on the acupressure points connects with your stress response in your brain and helps you to calm down that stress response and the emotional response, so you can actually come out of the stress response and go into the creative, practical problem solving and thinking response.
Well, that's a great tool to have. How did you come to find EFT in your life?
So I've got quite a long history of childhood trauma, and I wasn't diagnosed with PTSD till I was 38. So most of my 20s and 30s, I suffered with mental health challenges and depression and anxiety and all the other things that come with a history of adverse childhood experiences. And coupled with that, we had a really big life transition in 2013, excuse my voice is a little bit crackly, where we had to basically relocate 500 miles, a whole family relocate 500 miles to care for my mother-in-law who had a terminal cancer.
Well, I'm sorry.
So that was a very traumatic event in our life. And in the space of 2 years, we lost both my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and were subjected to quite a challenging legal probate dispute with a family member who was challenging that. So we were basically three or four years of extreme trauma as well as, you know, other things. And I basically, a friend of mine where we're living now is training as a practitioner. I thought I'd try anything because I was so stressed and traumatized by everything that had happened in the few years previously that I thought, well, I'll give it a go. You know, I've tried all the talking therapies, I've tried all the other ways of supporting my mental health. And in just three sessions with this practitioner, I came out of there with so much stuff that I'd cleared, and yeah, I just felt so much better. And I trained as a scientist, I have to say. I'm a graduate biological scientist, and I have a master's degree in the biology of water resource management, so I have a scientific training, so I'm not a woo person. And I looked into how it worked, and I thought, actually, there's some sense here, you know, the neuroscience of it actually makes sense. So I thought I'd give it a go as trained as a practitioner. And the more I learned as I trained as a practitioner, the more I thought, yes, this is a really good tool to use.
I can see how it could be helpful for, I mean, a daily. Is it something that you recommend to practice daily, or is it something that you kind of pull out of the box when you're having a very stressful moment?
I'd say you could use it daily. I mean, like meditation, like other tools to manage your mindset and your mental state. As I said, it helps you regulate your emotional response. So if you think about it, you know, if you notice your thoughts and notice how you're feeling, you can tap on them to say, okay, well, I feel angry about this, or I feel sad about this. You can tap.
Okay.
And that will help you manage your emotional response and tune it down. And it's like a sort of an enhanced meditation type thing. You know, you can actually use it to check in with your emotional state and say, how do I feel about this? And as you're tapping, we're looking to peel away the layers of an onion. So the tapping helps you feel safe to go a bit deeper and think, okay, I wasn't going to go there because it was too emotional for me to look at that. But actually, as I'm tapping, I'm calming myself down. I'm ready to look at this thought or feeling about this situation.
I've used it with my son before. When he was younger, he has ADHD and sensory. So when he was going to places like the dentist, he would just be such a ball of stress. And we would use tapping at that. And it helped him so much.
Used quite a lot with people with autism and ADHD, because it basically helps with overwhelm, because, you know, we're in that fight, like, freeze situation. And
yeah,
it helps you just pause and get some space to connect with how you're feeling.
Yeah. So how do your programs work as far as people working with you to be able to clear, whether it be stress or blocks?
Well, I don't have any sort of group program or sort of programs as such. Most of my work is one-to-one at the moment. Mm-hmm. I haven't developed any sort of programs. I have a Beat Burnout online training that I have, which is part of my wider coaching practice.
Right.
In terms of EFT, it's mostly one-to-one work at the moment.
I see people struggling with burnout and stress when it comes to running a business all the time. So I'm sure this could be something that could help them immensely. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm writing a book on it at the moment. So,
are you?
I'm writing a book about burnout. Yeah. So that's my other project. So, yeah.
Where have you seen incorporating tapping into your life? Where have you seen the biggest benefit?
Well, as a creative, I'm an artist and performer as well. One of my early clients was a fellow performer. They were doing a singer-songwriter, and they were having real problems with stage fright and issues. There's a video of it on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. They were in a pantomime, and they were doing a songwriting master's degree, and they were having real trauma about having their work judged and not, you know, just people making comments about their work and their performances. So we worked together about that, and we cleared quite a lot of blocks, because most of people's blocks come from either childhood experiences, and we call it the writing on our walls. I don't know if you've heard that. Gary Craig, one of the founders of EFT, he said we live in a palace of possibilities, and we're usually trapped in one room by the writing on our walls that of the beliefs that we've had ingrained in us from childhood, from our parents, our caregivers, our social circles. They're the beliefs about ourselves that we're not enough, we're not good enough. And, you know, EFT can help us clear that writing, or actually open the door to a new possibilities to help us to, well, actually, maybe that's not true. Maybe I could, you know, release the fear and move forward. So with this client, we worked together on their stage fright, and they managed to get through their performances, the pantomime, and now they've got their own vocal coaching school. So, you know, we had a really lovely interview. She was one of the first guests on my podcast, my Creative Resilience podcast. We had a really good chat about it, and she says that EFT really helped her to clear those blocks.
Oh yeah, you guys definitely have to listen to the podcast. It's pretty amazing. Creating Resilience with Am Diamond, Creative Changemaker. I listened to a few episodes. It's really, really good. Especially as a creative myself, I just love the content. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was writing blogs on my website for years, and actually I really got to the point where I thought this doesn't bring me joy anymore, because actually things like this, these podcast interviews, you learn so much from each other, don't you? You learn so much from your guests. And yeah, you get so much more out of it than just researching and writing a blog post. It's like, this is how we learn and grow together. So
yeah, that connection.
Yeah, I love it.
So do you feel like, is it, if you clear things, do they come back? Do they come back in different ways? How does that work?
Well, I suppose it depends how well you clear them, and actually, yeah, there will always be challenges in your life, won't they? I mean, you're never fully clear of, you know.
No.
Nobody's ever free of suffering, are they? I mean, we suffer as humans throughout our life, and it's how we respond to it, isn't it? So using tools like EFT can actually help us manage how we respond. And one of the biggest challenges I think people have, especially, I know in a session when I'm with a client, We do an upper setup phrase. So we'll say, even though I have this fear, or even though I have this belief of this XYZ, and then we'll say, I deeply, completely, an example, love myself, accept myself, and honor how I feel, or love myself, accept myself, and forgive myself if it's a guilt or shame thing. And I always know that if somebody can't say, I love myself and accept myself, then that's where we need to go. And sometimes getting to that core issue, because loving and accepting yourself, some people can't do it because of their beliefs, they're writing on their walls. And, you know, sometimes we have to start with the real fundamentals of just, how do I feel about myself, and I am enough. Or, you know, some people, they've had it drilled into them that they're not, you know, they don't feel enough. and that can taint everything you do.
Yeah.
It can influence your work, it can influence your relationships, it can influence just how you behave on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's some real fundamental core work that needs to be done.
Right.
So you can work, we say peeling away leaves of onions. We can work on the outer layers, and we liken it to a tree. So the leaves are the symptoms that you show, the behaviours that you show. And people may be okay dealing with the leaves part, but they don't want to get down to the roots. So we have to work gently and go away. And that can take a few sessions, or it could take, you know, but EFT has been shown to work much quicker than, in some sense, some instances, than some of the more traditional talking therapies, because you don't re-experience any trauma. We do it gently, and
right.
We can box things up. There's lots of different tools. We can use movie technique. You know, we can say, right, you're watching this situation on a movie screen, and we can freeze frame it at any point where you get an emotional response, and we'll tap on that. And then you can see yourself, or you see yourself and actually change the script. So, you know, there's all sorts of neuro-linguistic programming techniques and all sorts of things we can use, you know.
Yeah.
It's gentle, and it's most importantly, it's at the pace of the client. As a practitioner, we don't force anything. We don't suggest anything. We keep ourselves out of the way, and we allow the client to work at their own pace.
It seems like such a beautiful, gentle, almost loving practice.
That's why I like it so much, because, as I said, having experienced so much trauma myself in the past, it's really hard to actually accept that you need to be gentle, because you feel you have to people please all the time. And quite a lot of people go into a coaching or therapeutic situation trying to please the coach, trying to say things that they think the coach wants to hear. And it's quite a mindset shift to say, look, you know, this is about you, and you are doing the work here. The client is doing the work. It's just up to the practitioner to actually just gently guide them and facilitate them and support them and hold them to do that.
Could we walk through like a tiny little miniature example of how tapping works, in case someone's never experienced that before?
Sure. What do you think you'd like to tap on?
Gosh, how about imposter syndrome keeps coming up for me.
Okay.
So should it be like a specific instance, or how does it work?
Well, I guess what we do is we sort of try and get to what the issue that's causing the strongest emotional response in you right now. And then we measure it. So we say, well, how strongly do you feel about this? So what do you think a phrase you would say would be, you know, even though what comes up for you when you think about imposter syndrome?
I'm releasing a workshop and I'm petrified.
Okay. We use the client's words. So
okay.
We'd say, even though I'm releasing this workshop, I'm not petrified. How strongly do you feel about that?
Pretty strong.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
9.
10, absolutely 9. Okay, that's a really strong response. Okay. And we get people to tune into their body to see where they're feeling it, because when you actually can visualize it and feel it in your body, this is not woo. This is like, you do actually, if anyone's read Bessel van der Kolk's The Body Keeps a Score, trauma is stored in the body, because we release... When we have a fight, flight, freeze, fawn, stress response, our body releases loads of chemicals into our body, yes, and our brain. So it's cortisol, adrenaline, all the things. If they don't get released in some way, either physically or, you know, sort of by crying or by physically, you know, burning them off, they get stored in our body. They can get converted and stored in our body, and we hold trauma in our body for years.
Wow.
So we can feel, when you tune into that, I'm releasing this workshop. Where do you feel it when you think about that?
My throat.
Your throat. Does it feel tight? How does it feel?
Yes. Like a buildup almost of anxiety right here.
Okay. So you can see you breathe, just breathe gently. And actually breath work is quite a very simple thing. We always have our breath.
Mm-hmm.
So take a deep breath and slow your breath down. And then release the Yeah, so we do that a few times, because that tunes into your parasympathetic nervous system, and that controls your smooth muscle, your heart rate, your breathing. And if you slow that down, you are actually slowing down your stress response as well. You are actually helping the body to relax. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this tightness in your throat when you think about this workshop. You think it's about a 9.
Yeah.
And does it have a color or a texture?
Yellow and like sharp.
So a sharp yellow tightness in your throat. Okay. So when we start the tapping, should we do some tapping now?
Where?
Yeah, are you sure? I mean, we're doing this live and it's totally unprompted.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're probably on the spot completely.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. So would we?
We could do a what would happen type of thing. Okay. So we would walk into.
Yeah. So that's what we'd do. So we'd ask those questions to get the person to really tune into where they feel it, what it feels like. And by doing that, you're actually acknowledging it. You're acknowledging your response to that thing. So the thought of running this workshop program. Yeah.
Right.
And that actually, Louise Hay, Hay House published.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, everyone knows Louise. That's so she's sadly missed. But
yes.
She had this brilliant phrase, which I use, is if you want to clean your house, you first have to see the dirt.
Mm.
And a lot of people have these worries and fears or strong feelings about things, but they don't actually want to face them or acknowledge that they have these feelings.
Okay.
So that's the first thing we do in an EFT session is actually, if they're able to, you know, if they're able to name it. Sometimes they don't have to name it. They say this fear, they don't want to name it. You don't have to give all your personal details out. You know,
right.
You say this past experience or this fear. So it can be the thing. You're facing up to, you've seen how strongly, so we measure how strongly you feel about it and where you feel it in your body. Because when we're tapping, as I said, your body keeps this. And when you're releasing it, so I've already talked about the parasympathetic nervous system, the smooth muscle, the acupressure points, if you think about a piece of meat, I'm vegan, so I don't like to think about meat, but we think about a piece of meat. When you get a piece of raw meat, you have that white sort of fascia around the outside.
Yes.
Mesh, and that's, we have that around every cell in our body. Yeah. And when you're tapping on these acupressure points, there are channels in that fascia that carry waste products from your cells, you know. So the smooth muscle relaxing releases those blocks. So things move around your body, yeah? Energy moves and things move around your body. So when you're releasing, if you're thinking about a tightness anywhere and you're tapping, you're releasing, you may feel that move. So it may move to your chest or it may move. So that's something I tell clients as well, because we call it chasing the pain.
Okay.
We have a pain or tightness in one part of our body. As we tap and release, it can move.
Wow.
So by being aware of that from the start, you can measure if it's reduced or if it's moved.
Okay.
So that's something that can happen. We can also release in other ways. I'm not going to be too graphic here, but, you know, we have to release in other ways. So we can release through our mouth or through other parts of our body.
Oh, okay. I was thinking you were meaning crying or...
Yeah. Gas as well. And we can cry. Tears are a great way of releasing cortisol that's stored in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, if people have pets respond. They pick up on their owner's energy and they'll either come and sit on the owner's lap or move about, get agitated. And sometimes if you can see the pet visibly calming, the client is calming too.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting too.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
So we've established the issue. We've established how strongly you feel about it and we've established where you feel it in your body. And then we'll get this setup statement. So we suggested, even though I have this fear of, I can't remember now, was it this fear of
releasing this workshop into the world.
Releasing this workshop into the world. And then we say, you know, we can say, we sort of say how we, so I deeply and completely, what would you like to say? Accept myself and honor how I feel, or?
I guess so. Yeah, sure. I'm confident in releasing it now, or is that what we're going for? Is like the end result?
No, we're saying how you feel right now. We're saying acknowledging in the present. Yeah, we don't go there just yet because we have to explore all the aspects of it. So we say, you know, we say, even though I've got this fear of releasing this workshop into the world,
yeah,
I accept myself and honor how I feel. Or
okay, yeah, that sounds good.
And then we start tapping.
Okay, so you would go through the tapping areas.
Yeah. So we start on the side of the hand. We call it the side, the fleshy part of the hand there. We can tap with either hand. You can tap with the side of your hand or you can tap with your fingers. And then we work through the tapping points. There are different variations, but we go from the side of the hand. We go on the push point between the eyebrows here. Mm-hmm. and the side of the eyes and under the eyes, very gently, under the nose here. Which I think about when children suck their thumb, they sometimes stroke that part of their lip, top lip, on the chin here, under the bottom lip, on your collarbone.
Right.
We have sore spots just where our shoulders are, just a few inches in on our collarbone. There's a sore spot. If you press it, that's quite a strong pressure point.
Okay.
Up in there. And then we under the arms. It's a bit uncomfortable sometimes, but with children, we call this giving yourself a gorilla hug.
So gosh.
And then we can also tap on the sides of our fingers, sort of side by the sides of our things, but we don't always do that. We just go to the hands. We do that as a round tapping.
And you repeat something while you're doing that?
So, for example, what you just said. So we can just simply start tapping on this fear. Fear. Just tune into that thought, that fear. And then we maybe do that for a few rounds. Mm-hmm. And then we check in to see what's coming up for you. Because once you've calmed the response to that fear, another thought might come in and say, actually, it's about this.
Oh.
So it's like, maybe what if it doesn't work? Or what if nobody buys it? Or
right.
That, you know, and then we can move through, and that's all the different aspects. So we're going from the leaves of the tree,
right,
down through the branches to the trunk, and it could go back to, I don't know. This I'm not putting thoughts in your head, but I spoke at high school, and everyone laughed at me that time, and it goes right back to that because it's a fear of standing out, or a fear of failure, or something, or somebody criticised you at some point, but you're not ready to look at that until you've calmed the response down to this current fear.
Wow. Oh, that's so fascinating.
And 9 times out of 10, it'll be, if we have an hour-long session, a coaching session, it'll be in the last 5-10 minutes that the actual real issue will come up.
Wow.
Because that's when the client trusts themselves, trusts the practitioner,
right,
and also feels safe to say, oh, that's what it is. And I'll have this aha moment. And it's usually in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the session. So that's quite challenging because obviously you have to have your boundaries about time.
Right.
And also you have to make sure you leave the client safe at the end of the session and they've not come up with something that's really emotionally strong that they have. You don't leave them in a state of, actually, this is really upsetting and that's what the real issue is. So
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Wow. Well, thank you so much. Because I think, you know, especially if no one's ever done this before, it's hard to envision what the process looks like. So thank you so much for walking us through that.
Yeah. And also one of the things that we encourage people to do, obviously, is tap every day. So they'll say, you know, people journal, don't they? So they say, okay, today I'm feeling like this. So you say, even though I'm feeling like this, and just tap, you know, today I'm feeling anxious, tired, whatever. And we encourage people to do a personal peace procedure. And it's in the simplest form, you can get it down. There's a link on my EFT. So it's write down 20 things that are bothering you right now.
Wow.
And then you rank them, as you say, on a scale of 1 to 10. And you say, well, actually, that's bothering me more than that. And then you say, okay, even though he spoke to me like that yesterday, you know, like accept myself how I feel.
And what was that called?
A personal peace procedure.
Oh, and do you go through each one of those, or just the top, the highest? Oh, wow! Well,
yeah,
I could have used that yesterday.
You can rank them in order, you know. So as you say, we use that 1 to 10 simple scaling.
Yeah,
you know, just dump it all on a page. You can do 20, 50, 100, whatever you feel like. However strongly you feel about things right now, and then just rank them. Say, okay, actually, getting your thoughts or feelings in order. Actually, this is really bothering me right now. Don't know why, but it's bothering me right now. I'm going to tap on it.
Why do you think really diving into how we're feeling about things helps us move past them?
Because we have 80,000 thoughts a day. Well, between 60,000 and 80,000 thoughts a day, as you know. And the ones we pay attention to, you know, become hardwired, and we ruminate, and we're human, and when we're our biology is that we are wired to focus on the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we can clear a few of those negative things, not just say, okay, I accept this now. I'm not going to focus my energy on this because I've cleared it.
Yeah.
You know, you can actually start focusing on some of the stuff that you want to get done.
Right.
But it's when you've cleared that emotional response to things and the core issue of, well, wait, why am I reacting so strong to this? Actually, it's because I don't feel I'm valued, or because I've not actually spoken my voice, or whatever, you know. But you don't do that till you actually really face up to it.
Yeah. That's fun. I had a specific issue that came up yesterday and I was sitting there thinking, like, why am I having such a violent, not violent, but very emotional, heavy response to something that was really nothing to do with me on the surface level? And then my husband helped me figure it out. But like, if I had had this tool in my toolbox to lean into, that would have been so helpful to kind of dive into, in like a really safe way, my emotions around the situation.
That's why it's so good to you. I mean, I've done a bit of work in schools in my area. I did the primary school I used to work at. I did every classroom at all 8 classes of this little junior school, and showed them how to tap. And I used this sort of jar of glitter.
Oh yes,
it's visual. And I said, this is how you feel when you're mixed up. You know, got to shake the jar. And actually tapping just helps you to clear the water, helps you to settle down. And I had one little boy come up to me afterwards. And I only did like a 20-minute session with them, just showing them how to tap, the simplified version of a kid. And he said, thank you so much for that. I was feeling really angry before we started, but now I feel calm. And if kids could do that in the morning before they started class,
yeah,
you know, that would help teachers. It would help kids who've come from all sorts of different situations at home. You know, you don't know what's going on at home or in the world even. They could be scared about what's going on in the world right now and not know how to express that.
Right. Yeah. And I guess this helps you kind of balance and remove the emotion around the feeling.
Or even understand what the feeling is.
Right. So that you can.
Yeah. They could say, actually, I'm feeling a bit sad right now and I don't know how to deal with it. But to actually get to that place, they need to sort of calm their automatic response. They might have programmed behavior that when they're feeling sad, they behave like this, but they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And just naming it, you know, even though I'm feeling sad right now, I'm safe and I'm calm, or I'm safe, you know, something simple like that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. People can find you. Where do you like to live on social media for the most part?
Facebook? For my EFT, I'm on Facebook. Yeah. But my Work Safe and Well website has got links to my EFT. But yeah, I'm Creative Leader EFT is on Facebook.
Okay. And we'll have all your links in the show notes, and you'll get a unicorn page with all your links as well. So I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
No problem. And your program will go brilliantly well. Don't worry. Just tap on it and you'll be fine.
Thank you. I will definitely utilize some tapping to help me pull the trigger.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I wanted to thank Anne for being on the show. It was so lovely chatting with you and talking about EFT and how it can help us really help our issues in many different ways in life, whether it be stress or anxiety or physical pain, trauma. So I really appreciate you sharing that with this audience. If you would like to get in touch with Anne, we have all of her links in the show notes, and I will see you next time.